Good morning, good morning, good morning. Before I begin, I just want to thank God for bringing me here to Asbury Theological Seminary, an institution of higher learning where people who believe that God is the ultimate healer can learn to address mental and emotional issues, broken crayons, through the integration of theology and psychology, grounded in biblical principles. I want to thank Dr. Legrone and the chapel staff for extending me this invitation. And I also want to acknowledge the president and the leadership team in their respective roles for the work that they do to make sure that the seminary stays mission focused. And lastly, I want to give a shout out to my family, my friends, my prayer warriors who are with me either physically or in spirit. I want to thank them, just remind you that I love you. Thank you so much. Just if you would humor me for a minute, I just need to tap in, if you don't mind. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. The S-U-N outside is shining, but the S-O-N is shining inside our hearts right now. So thank you for meeting us here. Thank you for tabernacling with us. I humbly submit myself and I commit this time to you. All that I have and all that I am, I now lay at the foot of the cross. Holy Spirit, use me, use this lesson to bring healing, foster boldness, to strengthen us, to build us up, to encourage us, and give grace to the hearer. We welcome your presence. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Okay, I'm tapped in now. Okay, let me talk to you for just a minute. A few weeks ago, I was preparing a lecture for my counseling skills and techniques class to teach them one of those really controversial skills. You all know, self-disclosure. Well, I knew what the research said, and I've been a clinician for a long time, and I've used self-disclosure, but I know that we use it in helping and healing wounded people, but we're not the only ones that use self-disclosure. Coaches use it, mentors use it, teachers use it, doctors and nurses use it, sales reps use it. Ugh, I feel manipulated with that one. And the clergy uses it. All the professions that require trust, a deep commitment, and a sense of community and empathy use self-disclosure. It's a powerful tool when it's used correctly. But my beginning counselors, they kind of think that if they share their life with their clients, it's going to build this real strong relationship, and it's going to make them feel credible. It's going to make them seem credible. Well, I got news for them. It can do that, but not always. First, they have to learn the basic skills. So I'm up here giving a plug for active listening. Okay, just thought I'd do that. But once they've learned those basic skills, that active listening, then they can move on to these more advanced skills. But if the timing is bad, if their nonverbals don't match their verbals, if it's too long, if it's too short, if it's too deep, if it's too shallow, if it's too detailed, if it's culturally irrelevant, so many things can go wrong with it. And the counseling relationship will be ruptured. I also learned that self-disclosure is used in the pulpit. Oh. But there are as many caution signs and roadblocks to pastors using and abusing self-disclosure as there are for counselors. As a matter of fact, in my little research, I found out that pastors could use self-disclosure to illustrate, to identify with the congregation, to shock the congregation, and to purge their conscience. Ooh, yeah, those last two. Oh, I forgot to tell you, my background is children's ministry. So if I get a little, dramatic up here, because not that you're children, it's just the way I learned to minister. So what did the Bible have to say about self-disclosure? I was interested. So I got out my concordance, I got my Bible out. I read a few things of what some Christian writers had to say about self-disclosure, to see if they mentioned it, and if they did, who used it, when did they use it, where did they use it, did Jesus use it, did any of the heroes of faith use it, did anybody use self-disclosure? Well, I'll tell you, after chasing some squirrels and jumping through some rabbit holes, in other words, there was nothing inductive or systematic about my study. I was just curious and just plain old distracted. I did come across three words: witnessing, testifying, those are verbs, and testimony, one noun. And so I thought about, okay, well, testimony is a noun, self-disclosure is a noun, a thing. Okay, there's got to be a connection. And I thought, okay, God, that's strange, but okay. But you know how God is. He had captured my attention, and I couldn't let it go. So what emerged out of that, though, is what I'm going to share with you today. The beauty in testimonies. Because you know why? Broken crayons still color. Oh, and in case you're wondering, I'd never finish that lecture, just in case you're wondering. So the word testimony is a noun. Like I said, it's a noun, it's a thing, it's a story. The content of a story. Now, in the religious context, a testimony is a public recounting of one's personal experiences with God. Told you I've been in some rabbit holes. Describing his work, his blessings, or his transformative power in our lives. Christ Church in Memphis, one of our church partners in Extension Sites, they talked a little bit about testimony, and I kind of liked what they said. They said a testimony honors God by helping others to trust in Jesus. I said, oh, I like that, I like that. Now, if we say that another way, I'd just say Christian testimonies are personal narratives that illustrate the transformative power of faith in Christ and play a vital role in spreading the Christian message to both broken and unbroken crayons. So what's your experience with testimonies? Have you ever shared a testimony? Have you ever bragged on Jesus? Listen to the scripture. My mouth will tell about how right and good you are, and about your saving acts all day long. Not that I'm going to be here all day long. For there are more than I can know. Another scripture. I pulled these out of the book of Psalms, but this one, 66:16, says, come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for me. And those two scriptures kind of reminded me of a church tradition in one of my former churches where we actually had a testimony service. I don't know if any of you know what that means, but I probably start something like, first giving honor to God, who is the, okay, somebody knows. But, and I would end that with, pray my strength in the Lord. Mm-hmm. But the scripture that was read a little bit earlier talked a little bit more about living in a world of brokenness. Living in a world of brokenness. And you know what? God is no stranger to brokenness. In Psalms 34:18, he says, the Lord is close to the broken crayons, the brokenhearted, and saves those who are crushed in spirit. He loves broken crayons so much that he sent his son to experience brokenness to restore his relationship with us. We are broken crayons. He sees the beauty of our brokenness. He sees the hues of our colors. And he uses them to accomplish his purposes on this earth. And if you're not sure, the Bible has a whole bunch of stories about broken crayons. Abraham was old. Joseph was prideful. Moses was a murderer. Rahab was a prostitute. The Samaritan woman, well, we don't know how many times she got married and divorced. Jacob was a cheater. David was a murderer. And Peter denied Christ 3 times. Broken crayons. And the list goes on and on and on. And I said, if God can use broken people, if his word has shown me that God can use broken people, then surely he can use us. But how? Through our testimony. Through our testimony, the beauty of our testimonies, which can be summed up in 4 different ways. Number 1, testimonies can be inspirational. You know, like a good book or that movie that you love to watch where the protagonist in the end always wins. Inspirational. These kinds of testimonies are uplifting. They're inspiring. And sometimes, you know, you might be tempted to think that your story isn't exciting as some book. It's not, Hollywood worthy. But I want you to remember that you're not testifying about you. You're testifying about him. You're testifying about his works. And that's something that somebody needs to hear. Testimonies about how many small ways God has intervened in your life and just how powerful that can be. Hearing how God intervened can minister to someone who's not saved, all the way up to someone who's saved, but their hope is waning. And they feel so broken that they can never be used to color again. I work with those people. I work with those broken crayons. But hearing and knowing how Jesus provided healing and hope and deliverance to you can provide my broken friends with the hope and the reassurance to know that God doesn't dispose of broken crayons. He sent his son to collect those crayons, and he still colors with them today. He sees our beautiful broken hues not as failures, but as beautiful mosaic colored lives. Our lives are proof that an inspirational testimony can help someone to know that God can still use them in a colorful way to impact the world, even if they've been bruised and battered by life's trials and tribulations. So think about testifying to inspire someone. And as you share your story of faith, the person that hears recognizes that adversity does not define you, but the fact that you're a child of God does. Your testimony illustrates that the loving relationship that you have with your Father is what now colors your life. So your testimony, your inspirational testimony, can activate somebody's life. And then they'll be just as excited about sharing what God did for them as you are, God did for you. So testimonies are beautiful because they can be inspirational. But testimonies can be beautiful when they are evangelistic. Using your personal, real-life story of salvation to a non-believer is one of the most powerful ways that we can share the gospel message of salvation. Your testimony is one of the most effective and powerful tools that you have in your evangelism toolbox. People today tend to be more open to authentic, personal stories of faith rather than just teachings about faith. The goal of an evangelistic testimony is to convey the gospel message in a concise, engaging, and Christ-centered, Christ-focused manner. And every single Christian, every single Christ follower, every single believer has a story of salvation, redemption, and grace. Our souls were like broken crayons, broken through Adam's sin. The details of our spiritual awakening might be different, beautifully different, but we're all saved by God's grace. And our testimonies of that are a direct reflection of his indisputable, life-changing power, the power that's found in the gospel. Pope St. Paul VI said, "Modern man listens more willingly to witnesses than to teachers. And if he does listen to teachers, it's because they are witnesses." Paul's testimony before the Jews on the steps of the temple is an excellent example of evangelistic testimonies. If you have time, go back and read his story in Acts chapter 22, verses 3 through 21, because in that we see three different phases of an evangelistic testimony: the before, the now, and the after. Before, what your life was like before you were a follower of Christ. Now, how Christ saved you. And after, how he's changed you. Go back, take a look at the story. Paul talks about before. As a matter of fact, he talks about how he was so zealous in what he was doing that he was killing saints. Now, you know, that's one broken crayon. Then in phase two, the now portion, it's the longest piece of that scripture, he talks about his conversion. And if I were going to tell it to my children, if I was teaching it, this is how I would do it. One day, this is what Paul said. He said, "One day I was traveling down a Damascus road, and in this great light, suddenly it came down and it hit me and it knocked me to the ground. And I heard his voice. Nobody could see it. Nobody could hear it but me. And his voice says, 'Saul, why are you persecuting me?'" Now, I didn't do it like I would really do it with children, because I really like drop the voice down to the, you know, that low voice, but I'm not going to do that here. And Paul said, who are you, Lord?" And the voice said, okay, I'll do it. "I am Jesus." See, I knew you would laugh. "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting." And then he instructed me to go and see a Jewish man named Ananias, because I was blind and I couldn't see him. My friends had to take me to see Ananias. And when I went to Ananias, my eyes were healed. I could see. And I surrendered my life to Jesus. I received salvation and I got baptized. Yeah. Now, if that wasn't a compelling story, I don't know what is. And then the after phase, Paul goes on to tell them what changes Christ made in his life, and that's what we want to do. But he told them to go. Paul was really excited. He was like, "I'm going to stay right here, and I'm going to preach, and I'm going to tell the people." And nope. God told him to go. Because had he stayed, he would have been one broken up crayon, because the people could not hear anything but that he was a broken crayon, that he had persecuted Christians. That's all they could hear. And so God said, "No, I saved you for the world, so go." That's an evangelistic testimony. But testimonies can also strengthen someone's faith. Now, this is the tricky one, so pay close attention. Sharing your testimony when you are in the middle of it, when you're having a hard time, can strengthen another believer's faith. Your life, when you are in the middle of, I don't know, a job loss, a health issue, a relationship struggle, financial difficulties, whatever it is, whatever you're experiencing, your testimony about that now thing can inspire, nurture faith, and remind people that they're not alone. But a lot of times, people don't want to give that testimony. Nobody wants to give that testimony. You know that testimony, when people can see through your fake smile, when you don't look like your pictures on your Instagram, those, when your hallelujah is hollow and your praise is pitiful, nobody wants to give those testimonies. But there is a testimony in the middle of our struggles. But it requires us to be vulnerable, to be transparent. And I want you to know that there is nothing shameful about being in the middle of a trial or a tribulation. John 16, 33, last half of that scripture says, Jesus said it, in this world, finish it, Bible scholars, you will have tribulation. You're going to have trouble. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. Being saved does not exempt us from problems any more than it exempts us from a cavity. The key is that we don't glorify the struggle. We glorify God in the struggle. It's our love for God and our faith in Him that He can do what He said He could do and that He will keep His promises can be heard through your tear-stained face and your trembling hands as you share what God is doing for you in the midst of your brokenness. Because you know why? Broken crayons still color. Yep. There is a purpose for your struggle. Your faith may feel a little small. Your light may be a little dim. But Brother Crayon and Sister Crayon, a blue crayon is still a blue crayon. And even in your broken state, there are endless possibilities for creativity and learning and practical reuse. And God knows that, and He sees them. Broken crayons can be made into new shapes or used to make the most beautiful, unique, textured artwork imaginable. Because you still have vibrant color. You can tell someone what you're doing to remain steadfast and unmovable despite the situation that they see you in. Can you share what promises you're holding on to, what scriptures you're reading, what songs you're singing in the middle of the night when it really, really hurts, when you're a naked crayon, when the paper has been stripped off of you, when your point is dull or broken off? Can you still share? Can you do it? Share your testimony. It not only exposes God's heart on the matter, but it shows that faith is the key. And when you're able to be transparent, because again, this kind of testimony is not for everybody, but when you are able to be transparent, you allow other people to join you in the journey. And friends, sometimes that's what we have to do. Excuse me a minute. Counselors, sometimes that's what we have to do. We have to join our clients at the point of their brokenness and bring them to faith. That's what we have to do. You'll be shocked at just how far you have grown, how much your faith has grown, and how much of a beautiful, colorful mosaic your faith is when you are able to share your faith in the middle of hardship. Lastly, testimonies can build community. Just like here at Asbury Seminary, we say that we are community called. Well, testimonies can foster us to be called into community and solidarity with other believers. Testimonies can help believers connect with each other, build a sense of togetherness, and become a source of support and encouragement in times of need. The body of Christ is a many-membered body. When everyone brings their unique life experiences into one place, and we can listen and we can hear them, we can learn from one another. Hearing other people share their testimonies and struggles can help you in your journey and help others as well. Because God's invisible. He's not tangibly felt and seen. But one of the best ways is when we all come together and he becomes visible and tangible to us as a community. We feel him. We hear him. We worship him. But I got to ask you something. Because testimonies of diverse people can really be a rich soil for your faith to grow. But are you in a diverse crayon box? I need to know. Are all the crayons in your box the same hue as you? Well, let me tell you something, friends. If they are, you are missing out on some beautiful testimonies of other people who don't look like you, don't eat what you eat, don't live where you live, and haven't walked your road. Robert Fulcom says, quote, a famous author, not that part, but anyway, he says, if everyone in your crayon box looks like you, no, he didn't say that, I said that. He said, I made a huge font so that I wouldn't make that mistake, and I made it. Okay. He said, we can learn a lot from crayons. Some are sharp, some are pretty, some are dull, while others are bright. Some have weird names, but they have all learned to live together in the same box. And my admonition for you is to learn to live in the same box with people who are not like you. I could go on and on and on and on, but I don't want to take any more of your time. I'm just going to ask the musicians to come up and start to play softly, because I want you to start realizing, the first thing I want you to know is that you don't have to be a pastor, you don't have to be a theologian, you don't have to be a counselor, you don't have to be a Christian influencer to share your story, your testimony. Why? Because you qualify as broken. You are a broken crayon. And there are so many how-to books and blogs and videos and workbooks that can tell you how to put together a testimony. But I'm just going to give you a couple of clues, a couple of things to keep your testimony beautiful. Number one, and I've looked at several things, and what they say, write it out. Write it out. I know you love those spontaneous testimonies, but sometimes those testimonies become testimessies. Write it out and practice it and get some feedback. Write it out so that you will focus on the majors and not on the minors. So I'm going to turn the rest of the service over to my friend and my brother here, but what I want you to remember is that this table represents the most evangelistic, inspirational, faith-strengthening, community-building testimony I know. His body was broken for us, but my friends, broken crayons still color. And Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father, forever coloring, forever making intercession with us. For us with his red blood. And that, brothers, sisters, friends, is the beauty of a testimony, that God's broken crayons still color forever.